the way we believe. But Jesus said, it shall be to you according to your what? According to your what? Come on, according to your what? Your life turns out according to your faith. My life turns out according to my faith. And some of the time we think it's up to God how our life turns out. We think it's God's responsibility. And we blame him. But it's more your responsibility than, and I'm telling you, it's more my responsibility how my life turns out than it's God's responsibility. For instance, God says to us, be ye doers of what? Come on now, doers of what? He said, if you are not a doer of the word, you are simply doing what? Deceiving yourself. So now, whose responsibility is it to do the word? God or mine? I'm asking. So if I don't do it, who takes the responsibility for that? It's me. And every word that God gives you, brethren, I want you to listen to this, is to deliver you, is to heal you, is to give you victory. Every word God sends your way is to deliver you, is to heal you, to give you victory, to build your faith, to build your life, is to give you your blessings. But if you don't listen to them and push it aside and think you can circumvent those words and then invent prayer and fasting and things to circumvent it, you still go back and listen to what God says. If you are not a doer of the word, you are deceiving yourself. There's no way out of it. So it's always good to make sure that you give yourself, you know, when Peter was asked to come and said, we have an issue here, people are fighting over food, he said, we're not going to bother about that. He said, we're giving ourselves to the study of the word and then prayer. So this thing, no. This is what we give ourselves to. Because if we stop this, it affects the whole church. So you need to understand the importance of why you're here and what you're here to do. It's for your own good. Not really for my own good, it's for your own good. And it's for my own good to I listen to what I'm teaching. Because God sends that word to save me, to help me, deliver me, to build me, to give me my blessings. And there's no other way it happens. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The same thing natural information does in the natural, the spiritual information does. If you are an ignorant person, you are highly limited, severely vulnerable. Very, very vulnerable. And you won't have much skill in life. And you will not be too employable. If they want to employ you, they give you many stuff to be doing. Nobody will put you as CEO of a company when you are ignorant. You have to walk your way through knowledge, even if you get the knowledge on the job, you have to walk your way through knowledge before you get there. So that's the same thing with this, with the knowledge of the word of God. You need to walk your way through knowledge and through knowledge and through knowledge to mature in the things of God before God can begin to commit things serious into your hand. If you take those serious things and you're not prepared, it will crush you. It will crush you. I've seen people who took positions in organizations, they don't know anything. It crushed them. It destroyed their lives. Really crushed them. Emotionally unstable, angry all the time. Because they don't have the faith to carry what they put themselves into. So it's important for us to give ourselves to the word of God, especially in this 2018. If you want to make a success of your life, if you want to make a success of your life, if you want to succeed, God says, this book of the law shall not depart from what? You meditate on it, how? So you observe to first do it, then you succeed. But you won't do it, you won't observe, you won't meditate. You think there's one anointed, no anointed man of God takes the place of the word of God. Nothing takes the place of the word of God. It's either you come back to the word or you're not in the word. Case closed. So it's important that as you go into 2018, these are some of the things you need to talk to yourself about. So sit yourself down and talk. I talk to myself. Sometimes I ask myself a question. Do you really love Jesus? Are you doing this because you're a pastor? Do you really do this man, do you really love Jesus? It will help you to have light thrown into your life that will help you adjust some things that you have taken for granted. And they may be working against you. At the end of the day, it is about your life. And we're not here forever. We're not here forever, I'm telling you. So you must make haste. Make haste while the sun shines. There's an evening and there's a night. You make hay. The white man said, make it. To make haste, to cut the hay. Cut the hay when the sun is stationed. At any point in your life, you have opportunity to reroute yourself and get into what will help you in life. Amen. Okay, so we are in the final verses of Romans chapter 8. And these next verses reveal the plan of the Lord for the church. And that is to be ready for his coming. Paul began to talk about how what the Lord could not do, God did to set us free, to bring us into a position of privilege. And then he went to talk about that he has this passion. Paul had this incredible passion for the gospel and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. He has incredible passion for the gospel. He had an infectious passion for the gospel. And now he goes on to another passion of his life to prepare the church for the coming of the Lord. What? The coming of the Lord who? Jesus Christ. He delves into that. And it is the heart of the groom that the bride is ready for him at the time of their wedding. It is the heart of God that the church is ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we do eschatology teaching every year. Because we want to remind the church of this very important plan and program of God for all of us. And it doesn't register in the hearts of a lot of Christians the importance of the coming of Jesus. It really doesn't. But Paul began to really delve into that, and like he delved into it in all the letters he wrote to all the churches, it was main topic he touched. You can't miss it. Every letter he wrote to the churches, the coming of Jesus was key. Because he wanted the church to be ready to meet their groom, to meet the Lord as he comes. So being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what is at the heart of God, he began to write these things to the church in Rome. But before we read what he wrote to the church in Rome, I want to show you why he was focusing on this coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 9. From 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what? Yeah, if all you live for is the things of this world, he said you have a miserable life. Because there are more valuable stuff out there that Christ died for us to get. And then in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1, he wanted the church, really. You see, he wrote, this is Corinthians, this is Colossians. Let's just go around and see how he pointed these things out before we come back to where he wrote it to the Romans. In Colossians 3 verse 1, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, since you have been raised to what? New life with who? With Christ. Set your sights on the realities of what? Heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven. Think about the things of what? Heaven. Not the things of the earth. Now, can we pause here a little bit? What do you think we think most about? Huh? I mean, let's be real. What do you think we think mostly about heaven? We don't think about heaven unless the doctor says you're about to pass away. We don't think about heaven at all. Now, listen. Take this serious. Because you're going to see why our faith doesn't work. You're going to see why there's no spiritual growth, really. There's not much spiritual growth in the body of Christ. Because remember what I said? Be ye doers of the word. If the Holy Spirit tells you focus on this and you are not, you deprive yourself of the benefit of that focus. When he tells you, look this direction, he knows why he's saying it so. It's not a game. He's not playing game here. He's telling you what you need to do to be able to succeed. But we don't take it serious. So unless the doctor says, you are dying, that's when we take off death. Think of life after here. But the Spirit of God says, no. You want to make a success of your life? He says, stop bothering and focusing on things of what? This earth. He says, you focus on things of heaven, where Christ sits. When you focus on things of heaven, where Christ sits, your heart will be filled with revelation of that thing. Your heart will be filled with superior revelation that is beyond the things of this earth that we're looking at. Because the things that are seen are made by the things that are not seen. And he says, look at the things that are not seen. Stop looking at these things. All these things you see are controlled from somewhere. That's why it's happening. But we don't do that. We don't do that. And my point is, be ye doers of the word. Because if you are not a doer, what did he say happens? Only two people have the courage. What did he say happens? You deceive yourself. You see, the Spirit of God gives us instruction what to do. Think of things of heaven. Look unto Jesus. Don't look at mundane things of this world. Look at where it's coming from. The source that controls everything. So, it says, think about things of heaven. Can we say it together? Let's say it together. Think about things of heaven. Let's say it together again. Think about things of heaven, not the things of this earth. Now, if I'm thinking so much of the things of this earth, do you know who is the God of this world? The devil. Then the devil has me where he wants me because I'm walking by sight. I'm walking by sight because I'm walking and looking at things I can see. And all he does is he destabilizes me all the time because that's my focus. If he takes this away, I fight. If he takes this away, I fight. If this thing does, I fight. Somebody, I'm angry. Overnight, I haven't slept. This thing happened here. They will happen there. Take your eyes off those things. Let them happen. Forget about it for God's sake. Put it where God said to put it. You won't see all these things. And the devil has nothing. Nothing to attract you with. Look, if you are dancing for me, let me say God is dancing for me now. You know, if I'm looking, he will dance more, right? Am I right? But supposing I turn my eyes away, what will he do? Yeah, if the devil is dancing for you, you are watching, he will dance the more. It's your life. He's doing all those things. He knows you are attracted to the things of this world. He will take the ones you have away from you and use some of the things to harass your life. Because that's where your focus is. It's called walking by sight. Again, be you doers of the word. And we won't do it. And we wonder why things are falling apart. We wonder why prayers are not answered. Where is the faith to receive it? Where is the faith to receive it? Let's say it again. Be ye doers of the word. Say it loud. Come on. Be ye doers of the word. Because, you know, if we're not doers, he said we're just deluding ourselves. We're just fooling ourselves around. Because it won't work. It's like somebody that makes a car, and you buy the car, and they give you the instruction on money. I say, do this and do this. Don't put this type of oil. Put this type of oil. You throw the money away and put your type of oil. The thing knocks. You know, our life can knock and start making noise. And then, verse 3, for you died to this life. You died to this life. Brethren, you see why we stay too long on chapter 8? Because Paul kept talking about the fact that we have died to this life. That the life we have is totally different. It's not this. Brethren, if you don't believe this thing, you won't see it happen. I don't care how you try. There's no other way out of this. Only believe and you see. Want to see? Believe first. He said, you died to this life. You don't belong here. You are citizens of heaven. You have another type of life. You are just a new creature. You are not what you used to be. Every letter he writes, he emphasizes this thing, that this is what Christ achieved for you on the cross. You died to this. Somebody said to me, he said, Pastor, you are the only one preaching this to you. He said, who hear it outside of your church? I'm not kidding you. I said, then will I preach more? I preach more because when Jesus appeared to me, now I know why he said what he said to me. He said, are you now ready to preach the gospel? I said, yes, Lord. He said, I will show you where you preach it. The gospel. He said, you died to this life. You don't belong to this natural life. You have a new life. You are a different being. You see, you act according to what you think you are. As a man think it, so he is. You act according to what you think you are. If you wear suit, they dress you up in suit and they introduce you now as the CEO of a big company that makes pen. Do you know your attitude will change? Come on now. Why does it change? Because you see yourself in a different format. You dress differently now, and you come in differently now. But supposing they say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. They say, remove that suit. Who gave you that? No, you're not supposed to wear that jacket. Immediately your attitude reverses. Brethren, I want to plead with us. The Bible is not a joking thing, though. It's the Holy Spirit that wrote it. If you don't peg your faith in Christ, if you don't, in these last days in which we live, in these last days in which iniquity is abounding, if you don't peg your faith in Christ, I don't know what hope you have. I don't know where this hope is coming from. I don't know where this help is coming from. Isn't the Lord our only helper? Verse 3. For you died to this life, and your real life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, when Christ, who is what? Your life. When Christ, who is what? Your life. When Christ, who is what? Your life. Christ is my life. You can't separate me from him. We're joined to him. Become one spirit with him. And if I know this, then the reality of that joining begins to show in my life without effort. With no effort. No effort. Because he's the one at work in me. To will and to what? You find the restraining power of Christ in you. Paul said we are restrained, we are constrained by his love. Something constrained what I say. Something constrained what I do. I just act anything. There's a constraining ability around my life. So when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, and I want you to mark the word revealed, because when we come to Romans chapter 8 to read it, Paul used the same word revealed to talk about the coming of Christ. When Christ is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his, because you too will be revealed as his children. Because we are the bride of Christ. We receive the new body he promised us. You share in his glory. So he said, because of this now, you see why? Looking to where he told us is what we should do. He said, because of this now, he tells us the next thing that thing makes us to do. So put to death. Put to what? Did he say manage it? Huh? Come on, church. Did he say, just try to control it? What did he say? It happens. Kill it. Snuff life out of the thing. I've said it over and over. I pray God help me. I've said it. I said, Christianity is not character management. It's a brand new life. It's a totally new life. It's a totally new life. The life of Christ. The life that is in God. That he gave us. And that's what God expects to dominate our life. That new life. And the Bible says through the power of that spirit in us, we can put to death. So the thing ceases to be an attraction. That's what it means. It ceases to be something the devil can use. It doesn't attract you. Doesn't attract you. That's why he says, Paul said, I was separated from the world, from the cross. He said, the world is separated from me. They don't attract me. I have no attraction whatsoever. We are totally now in two different worlds. He said, but it is through the cross it happened. That's where I was separated from them. I don't have attraction for their music, attraction for their all this attraction. You don't have to come and preach to me not to listen to all this music. It doesn't impress me. It doesn't entertain me. It doesn't do nothing. I don't have to know. My spirit rejects it. So when a Christian sits down and be listening to all these people that I don't know, they call them stars. What star are they? Do you know? I have no idea. They listen to all this stuff and it entertains them. It means they're ignorant of what Christ did for them. The moment they become conscious of who they are and activate that spirit in them, naturally, the thing will repulse. I told you people that I went home, traveled to him, and somebody told me that Osadebe died. Osadebe used to be one of the musicians that his music was philosophical. It wasn't into this, you know, it was really philosophical about life and things. So, and they said the son is doing well. I said, okay, let me see how the son is doing. So, I bought one or two, some of his CDs. I didn't have any. So, when I came back, I put it in my car. It was playing like the father. I said, this boy really is playing like his father. Listen to this. Before long, if I want to pray or study, I found that my spirit was going low. I'm not joking. And the Lord said to me, what spirit is behind that music? I collected all of it. The next garbage can, I dropped it there. My spirit recoiled. Not to talk of listening to this type of thing that they're producing. Or you see that and their movies is entertaining you. Isn't something wrong? How can you go and see that? The Bible said that the prodigal son was eating with pigs. How is it normal to a human being to be eating with pigs? You sit down, there are movies. This is entertaining you. You buy more. You even pay to go and sit down and watch. What are you watching? Bad stuff from the God of this world? No. The new man in you is not taking it's not dominating your life. If it's dominating your life, you don't need a preacher to tell you. The spirit of God in you, the new life you have will begin to. Have you ever gone to a place that is dirty and then how do you feel staying there? You don't feel comfortable because it's not your natural environment. Does anybody tell you, come out from there? You go to use a restroom. And then you come there. There are some of them I go to in some of these gas stations. I can't use it. Instantly, the oil to urinate stops. Simply because I saw the place, the environment. Even the oil to urinate stops. I just get into my car and go continue. What caused that? Because I was in a strange environment. So my body shut down. My physical body shut down. How come, don't you understand it's the same thing spiritually? Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. So put to death the sinful earthly things locking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desire. Don't get greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. Some people sit in church, they just love money too much. They can't even pay tithe. They need somebody to preach to them to give to God. I mean, we're not talking about giving to a human being. It's giving to God that gave you your life. You need a preacher to teach you to give to God? Really? You know what the Lord told me a few days ago? He said, do you know when when Christians are doing secret things, they think nobody saw them. He said, but there's a spirit that is interested in that thing. It's called Satan. He said, they think nobody saw them. He said, but there's a spirit also what? Interested. Watching. In that thing you're doing. I said, this guy is playing in my turf. Because he is the prince of darkness. And then he said, what you do in secret will disgrace you in public. I said, really? He said, yes. Didn't I tell you people in the Bible that if you pray in secret, I will reward you what? Publicly. He said, it's not me. But what you do in secret will bring you your reward. Where? Publicly. You will see it. One day it will come out. All those things we do, greed, we practice. You go and take things from people you won't pay. You know you don't want to pay. You really know you don't. That's wickedness. You know you're a wicked heart. You don't want to pay. You just want to skim somebody out of something and wear the cloth dancing in church. One day that thing you are doing, you get the reward publicly. Because whatsoever a man soweth, he will reap it. So Paul said, because Jesus is coming, he's your life. Dress well. Come on. You are a bride. Do what? Dress well. I remember my wedding. You know, there's this thing, my wife, we went and bought the wedding gown. So we now, after we bought it, my wife saw another wedding gown that somebody made. The woman that makes it came to our house. When my wife saw it, she started to cry. She preferred that one to the one we bought. So the woman said, I will help you. So we took that one back. I think they gave us some money back. So the woman now made her own. It was awesome. She looked awesome that day because it was her special day. So she wanted the best to wear. Isn't it what Paul is saying? Because our groom is what? Coming. He said, put to death. Oh, this is. And get ready for your groom. Can I hear amen? Get ready for him. He's coming. He's coming. And somewhere he said, those who don't love the coming of our Lord Jesus, what did he say about them? Huh? What? Those who don't love the Lord Jesus or don't expect his coming. Start your Bible and say. Now, in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, you see the word revealed being used again? When he is revealed, which means that he is coming, we shall be like him. For we shall now see him, because then we receive the new body. And verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him, what does he do? Gets himself ready. That's what he's writing. He said, put to death these things. Get ready, he's coming. Dress well. Dress well, he's coming. Everybody who had this hope, the blessed hope of the coming of Christ, purifies everybody, everyone. You see why the Bible says we should expect and we should look at where he is. That if you believe he's coming, that everyone, it didn't say some people, everyone who has this hope in him does what? Only four people. Does what? Which means if you don't have this hope in you, you don't care about purifying yourself. You don't care. Nothing motivates you. Did you know? Because of inaugural service, we were purifying the church. Working hard. Buying everything. Working. People worked hours. Choir getting ready. Everyone getting ready. What caused that purification of process is because we're expecting something to come. Our big boss came. The big guys came. The white men, they stood there. They sat there. I sat behind. It's that expectation that caused us to work hard. Put carpet. Do this one. Do this one. Do this one. That's what Paul is saying. If Christ is your Lord, and he's special to you. And he's coming. He is coming. Help me. He said, you should get ready. Because he's not an ordinary person. He's coming. So everyone that has this hope in him, purify. Now we don't have this hope. We don't even remember it. So if we don't have this inaugural thing, and we didn't move here, and we're still at 170, do you know half of these things wouldn't have been done by now? We and contractors, we should still be talking all over the place. That's what Paul is saying. That everyone that really has this hope, that Christ, that's why we do this eschatology every year, because it's a very important teaching to refocus the church on the coming of Jesus so that it produces what it's supposed to produce in our lives. We're not just people who come to church on Sundays and go home. It's beyond that. It's a dynamic thing of life beyond here. Activities beyond this earth, in heaven, in the realm unseen by human mind, but seen by your spirit. Knowing that this is true. Pretty soon you see that the early church was motivated by this more than any other thing. But our own motivation today is the things of this world. First Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming. You see, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want your people to be ready, purified unto his coming. His coming. He said, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. He will keep you ready for his coming. And then in Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember. What shall I remember? Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is what? Is coming. Do you see how the thing plays in everything is writing? He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Lord is coming. Be joyful. Be joyful. Don't do things in excess. Do things in moderately. You don't need those junk. Be moderate in what you're doing. He's coming. He's coming. See, the most important thing is he's coming. Forget all this eating too much, sleeping too much, eating too much. Say, let everyone see you are gentle. And they say, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Have you seen a woman who is going to wait the day of her wedding? Does she rejoice? Huh? Huh? Some do. But some cry. Especially if they are forced. But this one is not forced. This is a willing choice we made. We chose Jesus as our Lord. And what? The Savior. And we are his bride. So Paul said, rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. Be gentle. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's what? I want you to tap yourself and say, he's coming. Say it loud. Come on. Say it louder. Come on. Then louderest. If you speak this language anywhere, you fail. Colossians 1:3. We always pray for you. And we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the gospel. He said your faith and love is propelled by your confident expectation of what God reserved for you, where? In heaven. So that's what propels your faith and love. Didn't Paul say to us, he said, let your treasure be where? Or the Lord Jesus said, let your treasure be where? In heaven, where thieves can't steal it. First Corinthians 1:7. So that you come behind in no gift. You come behind in no gift. 1 Corinthians 1:7. You come behind in no gift. 1 Corinthians 1:7, not 7:1. 1:7. Now you are very spirit. You have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly. What do they do? Eagerly wait for the what? Return of our Lord Jesus. Every church, he has got them this thing. He's coming. He said, we eagerly wait. Who among us eagerly waits? Who? Let's be real. My wife and I were talking to the man that put light in our parking lot. You see the light there? That's light. If you don't see the light, I'll tell the man to turn it off. In the parking lot. It's PAC and G-Man. So my wife and I were talking to him about when he came here the first time, Chris Onyechi would tell you. He came out. The first thing he asked us is, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. He said, are you born again? I said, yeah. He said, my heart broke. He said, my relatives. He said, if I die now, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. He said, but my relatives. He said, I keep telling them. He said, I keep talking to them. That there's a little, I forgot the word he used, between life and death. He said, it says like this. He said, they won't hear. You could see the man almost crying. This is a man that came to put light for us. First question he asked us is, are you a Christian? Are you born again? I said, yeah. He said to Chris, then we started to discuss Bible. So I saw him yesterday, my wife and I. I said, this passion you have that people be saved. I said, it's the love of God that stirs it. I said, how come I don't have the same passion you have? He said, well, he said, since I was a child, my family have been Christian. My children, my mother and father are saved. He said, I've been imbibed this thing about the importance of salvation. He says, it's the Spirit of Christ in me. I said, but we have the same Spirit of Christ. How come we Christians don't have the same passion you have? I said, that's my question. How come? And that's the question I'm asking everybody. How come? If we really believe in these things, how come? How come we're not concerned? How come that a man jumped out of his truck? First thing he asked me is, are you saved? And he said, because Jesus is coming. Is Chris Onyechi here? Is he not what happened? He said, Jesus is coming. He said, my family. You could see it in his face. It wasn't. You could know that he meant what he was saying. He said, they won't listen to me. What's driving him? Jesus is coming. He said, he can come anytime now. He's coming. This is a fellow Christian. He's not motivated by anything here. He's coming. So he wants all his family to be rich. Come. So you think you can attract such a man with anything in this world? He has no interest in it. Because he believes with all his heart that Jesus is coming. And when we met him, you could see he was still sober. You could see a man that he was still sober. Really sober. If you touch him, he won't fight you. He has no time for that. His focus is something bigger than those things. We should live for higher values that Christ died to introduce us to. Higher values of life. There is the lower level of life. There is the higher. We sit in place of authority. That's what it means. Seated with Christ is to rise above mundane things of this life and rise above and sit where Christ is and talk about things that are more in purpose, more in glory than things that perish. Amen. So Romans 8:18. Let's start reading. Romans 8:18. I'm reading. I don't even know the verse. I think it's New Living Translation. Well, we'll find out as I read. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What translation is that? King James, right? Is that King James? Of all this, King James today? Okay, so we read King James. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in. You see the word revealed coming in here? He said, no matter what you are passing through now, it's nothing. You see why he said, don't look at things of this world. He said, it's nothing compared to the glory that will revealed when Jesus comes, revealed in us. Keep going down, please. Let's keep reading. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of what? The sons of God. He said, even creation is waiting for that day. Even creation itself is waiting for that day. And we'll tell you why. Verse 21. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of he who has subjected the same in hope. You know, when Adam sinned, sin corrupted everything. Creation was never in pain until sin came. You didn't hear a pain in the Garden of Eden until sin came. He said it wasn't a willing thing that creation subjected it to this. It was a situation that brought it to this thing. And it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of what? Corruption. He says, sin corrupted the whole thing. And you know, creation, how it's going to be delivered? It's going to be burnt off, period. There's no redemption for it. We are the only ones that are redeemed. Praise the Lord. A new earth will be created. A new heaven. Well, that's what Pastor Victor will take when he does those psychology teaching. And I will encourage you to come and listen to those things. It will also help us to be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That's why you have earthquakes. You have all this natural disaster happening because sin created all of these things. You won't hear it in heaven that there's earthquake. You won't hear it. Look at what is happening in creation. If I watch animal world, if you see how they eat each other, it's a dangerous world out there for them. Because one is out trying to prey on the other one. Another one will sneak up and eat it. And look at trees. Look at the fire that comes. Destroys massive areas. Can't you see that creation is really groaning in pain? Destroying massive areas. And all of a sudden, we know where fire will start. Tremors. I was sitting here and there was tremor, earth tremor. I said, there's somewhere that there's earth tremor somewhere. It's not near here. But you can notice. There was an earthquake near us recently. I don't know if you heard about it. Eh? You heard about it. There's an earthquake near us. This creation is, what Paul wrote is true. That's why Jesus said in the last days you have all these kind of things happening. All manner of men's hearts will fail them. Because creation is groaning and quaking and shaking. And now there are diseases they don't even know the name. You are killing this one mutating into another form. It's like the thing is really, this is absolute truth, Erotia. Creation is in pain. It's in pain, serious pain. You get dollar, you think it will solve your problem, more problems arise. So, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our what? Bodies. You find that because of this body we have, we don't always do what we want to do. That's what Paul was talking about. He said the frustration it brings to the Christian. We want to live sinless life. We want to be as pure as God. But, brethren, very wonderful goal to set. But you know, in reality, it's a tough one. Because we have this what? Flesh to deal with. Have this flesh to deal with. And so because of that, it causes us groaning. It causes us groaning. It causes us unhappiness. Sometimes you say things, you feel so bad about it. You say, man, I shouldn't have said this thing now. Sometimes you do some things, you go, oh my God, why did I even do something like that? You didn't want to, but you did. Groaning. Corruption of the flesh. Corruption of the environment. My people say, if you don't get trouble, your cloth will also get trouble for you. You didn't want trouble. You go to your job. People in your job are creating problems for you. It's a corrupt world we live in. There's no peace here. So he said, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet what? Hope for it. Then verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. He said we ought to be patient and be waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus when our new body will be given to us. That's because he said when our body will be redeemed. He didn't say our spirit, because our spirit already has been redeemed. So, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Okay. Wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our what? You see, he's saying that we have weaknesses. It's not of the Spirit, but of the body. Weaknesses. Helpeth, for we know not what, even prayer, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be altered. That is, it's beyond human being to articulate what the Spirit is saying and doing on your behalf. Now, listen, it doesn't mean that you don't pray. Because if you don't ask, you don't receive. What he's saying is that the Holy Spirit helps you. He helps you by teaching you to pray. Teaches us to pray. But again, we don't listen to him. He said, do you want your prayers answered? He said, yeah. Say, let my word do a what? Then ask. We don't do that. We won't do that. We do whatever we like, and it's not working. It's not working. And we wonder, oh my God. Then you add fasting to it. Did he tell you must fast to get it? He said, no. Let my word dwell richly in you. Then ask. We won't do that. We don't have time for his word. I need 70 days dry. Be doing 70 days dry. Pastor Tunde told me that 3 people died in Lagos doing fasting and night vigil. One of them, the children lived in Canada here. He said, now nobody pays school fees for those children. He said, one of them died on the 7th day of a fast. 7th day. He said, 3 pastors, 3. He said, my heart broke. My heart broke. What God said to do, nobody will do that. Let my word dwell, then ask. No, don't do that. It won't work. The way it will work is, let me punish myself so that you answer me. God said, what of the punishment that Jesus took for you? So, he says, likewise, so the Spirit of God helps us in prayer, in speaking in tongues, for instance. It's not your language, so it goes beyond what you can utter. Goes beyond what you can utter. Now he's the one giving you the utterance. You are not the one uttering. And the best way to really pray for things you don't understand is praying the Spirit. So it has many ways that he helps our infirmities and limitations. For we ought, so by the Spirit, that's part of the things we study next year. It make it intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The next one. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, let's continue. 29, continue. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, some people read this and say, yeah, all things work together for good. They stop there. Let me warn you. Listen to me, all of you. Don't you ever put words in the mouth of God. You will pay a price for it. If you love your life, don't mess with God. Don't put words in his mouth. If you don't know what he's talking about, stop. But don't take scripture and purposely twist it. Paul wrote about it. Peter, he said, those who twist the scripture, say they will pay the price for it. He said, what Paul is preaching, he said, I don't understand it. He basically said, some people take it and twist it to suit themselves. Don't do stuff like that. Don't go and quote scripture halfway. Read the whole thing now. He didn't say all things work together for good. That's not what he said. He qualified it. Am I right? Come on, church. He qualified it. Okay, let me give you an example. Do you know Esau? Esau, a vagabond. Did all things work together for good for him? No. And the Bible warned us not to be like Esau, because he won't listen to his parents. He was very arrogant. The Bible called him a vagabond, a man of the field, and warned the church not to be like Esau. How can all things work together for good for Esau? He didn't walk according to the purpose of God. Neither did he walk called according to the love of God. He wasn't walking according to the love of God. When you walk in the love of God and walk according to divine purpose, whatever is happening at that time, God will make it work for good for you. But when you walk outside the will of God, walk outside the purpose of God, walk outside his love, and walk in darkness, we walk in darkness, all things can work for good for you. Because if you follow the flesh, you shall surely die. It won't work good for you. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers what? And you won't do. You won't do. The Bible says you have just deluding yourself. All things are not going to work for your own good. It's qualified. Again, let me warn us. Don't take scripture halfway. You will do yourself incredible harm that way. Take exactly and get it in context so that you get what God is what? Saying. Even if you don't like it, take it like that. Leave it like that. So the next verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 30, I will take this one. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, you see that scripture? People read it and they say predestination. They say, see now, Jehovah's Witness people, they say God has not destined some people will be saved and some people will not be saved. Have you heard something like that? Huh? Come on, I'm asking. You see what I'm saying? Read the Bible and get in context. What did the Spirit of God write? He says, it is not the will of God that any shall perish, but that all shall come. What? Yeah. So how can it be his will is not that any shall perish, but he has chosen some people who will perish? It's only a wild person that says that. The will of God is the will of God, is truth. He said, it's not. Okay, let's read some Bible. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his what? Promise. 2 Peter 2:9, not 1:5. I mean 3:9. 3. Chapter 3, verse 9, not 2. Chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his what? Promise, as some men count slackness, but it's long suffering towards us. You see, this guy God will judge. You know, God says, I'm long suffering, I don't want you to die. I'll give you time to change. He says, it's long suffering to us, what? Not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to God. Wants everybody saved. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, what? It's a choice we make if you choose. But God knows those who we choose, though. Because he's God. He knows the end. From what? Even you know some things about your family. Some things happen in your family. You come in and say, I know who did this. Why? Because you know everybody very well. You said, Pastor Chinedu can't pour water here. I know him. Yeah, he's a very quiet man. Doesn't talk much. He's like the wife. Why are you laughing? Say, no, it's not him. He's so quiet. Very, very quiet. Oh, he's very quiet. The reason you are saying that is because we have lived in the same house and you know me. So you can predict the things I can do and the things I can. Don't worry about using. I was just joking. But what I mean is that even you in your household, you know your children. There are things that will happen. Say, my brother can't do something like that. I know him very well. And if you go down, it's not him. Why? You have the privilege of information about him. So God has the privilege of information about all of us. So he knows those who will believe, those who go to hell. He knows the end from the beginning. He understands all of that. So those he foreknew. He decided that if you receive Christ, then you have the privilege of being his son. So he knows. That's why he talked about Judas beforehand. That he's a child of perdition, that he will perish. Because he knew that the man was stubborn and the man would die in his sins. He understood that. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Okay. The second part of this thing, when Paul began to talk about the love of God, we're going to handle on Thursday. And then we're going to have Holy Communion on Thursday. The last Thursday for the year. I'm going to talk about the love of God and we'll have Holy Communion and we'll have the laying on of hands on people to pray for you. So that's how we'll draw the year to a close on Thursday, Bible study. So I'm going to teach on the love of God because that's what he went into the last few verses of chapter 8. And then we have Holy Communion here, share the love of God, and we pray for you. Is that okay? We pray for you. We lay hands on you. Praise the Lord. Do you have any questions? If you don't have, I'll ask. And if I ask, if you hide under the chair, I'll call your name. Did you get what I'm teaching? Did it go down well with you? So we must be people who look where the Spirit says we should look. Be a fool for God. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, lose it. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Be a child. Be humble. Be nothing. Let the Spirit of God teach us. Let him guide us. Let him instruct us. He said, the humble I will guide in the way. But those who are arrogant, who know too much, what is God teaching us? What is he teaching us? We hear his word, we go and do what we like. Hear his word, especially following men. For I've said it here, and I keep saying it. If you follow men and not following God, follow men that follow Jesus. Don't follow men because they're men, they're bishop, they're anything. I've had these big names teach what is not Bible. And I'm surprised how people just open their mouth because, say, who taught that? I say, because he's bishop. I don't care whether you're bishop or not. I want to hear from the Bible. If the Bible does not support it, I will not listen to you. And I have no apologies for that because you can't take my life along with your own. The Bible is what underwrites whatever we believe. If the Bible, even if I teach it, and the Bible does not underwrite it, for God's sake, don't take it. But if the Bible underwrites it, then God will hold you responsible for what you do with it. That's when accountability comes. Because he has given you something now to go and do. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads.